What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Sunday in between holidays. It's a kind of chaotic season for us, so sorry we didn't get an episode out before the ball game, but we're here today to recap what happened between Texas Tech and Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, and also get ready for Texas Tech basketball to begin Big 12 conference play. So a quick little episode in here between Christmas and New Year's for you guys. We hope you enjoyed your Christmases and with family and loved ones and lots of football. We hope that you will enjoy your New Year's Eve and bringing in 2025. And so we've got a fun episode for you guys. And so with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, the Texas Tech Red Raiders headed to Memphis to play in the Liberty Bowl, where half the stadium was missing and half the audio from the ESPN team was missing during the game, and half the Arkansas team was missing, and all your good players for Texas Tech side were missing. And, well, nothing turned out right for the Red Raiders in this game. No offensive coordinator, no defensive coordinator for you, no Baron Morton, no Taj Brooks, no Josh Kelly. And all of that apparently mattered as Arkansas wins 39-26. It wasn't even that close. It never felt real close, except kind of made it a game at the end of the first half, but then came out in the second half and everything that happened in the first quarter repeated itself. Arkansas jumped out on you 21-3. Defense was giving up three play 80-yard drives consistently. Nothing looked good for the Red Raiders. A disappointing end to the season in this bowl game. Dustin, your thoughts on the Liberty Bowl and the lack of effort from the Red Raiders side in this one?
Yeah, great recap there. Also, don't take a lot of it. Personally, like you would like regular conference type games. I mean, like you said, all the guys were missing. We were missing our QB1, our running back one, and receiver one, who did a ton of work for us all year, all around. And yeah, I mean, we're not going to deep dive into a lot of things, but I just had like a handful of things I noticed. I mean, yeah, when you have your top three offensive contributors, and then even some of your O linemen that aren't good, but were starting over guys you were throwing out there this game, like if you're throwing a true freshman quarterback, true freshman running backs with a very pieced together second, third string type O-line and someone else calling someone else's offense at OC, like you could visibly tell it wasn't great.
Yeah, it just, you know, it was a bunch of things I didn't really think much of. I was just like, yeah, it's a bowl game. These guys are familiar with the playbook. Some of that stuff's not going to matter. Arkansas is barely a team right now. Like, you should roll into this game. And I thought you should win. That's what I thought going into this game. But kind of like you, I just, not a lot to take from this game. I don't really care. It's not a conference game. These bowl games don't matter anymore. The only one that matters is the Pop-Tarts Bowl or a college football playoff. Other than that, I just like even before the game, it was really hard for me to even get excited about this game. It was just kind of like, we have a game tonight, turned it on, watched it, didn't even go anywhere, didn't really want to go anywhere to watch it. It's just a football game now. It's an exhibition. These games don't matter like they used to. And you can definitely tell like the team wasn't as focused. Defense was god awful.
I want to go there. I have a note on that. I thought it was hilarious, the effort by all these defensive guys who were subtweeting the last 2 weeks about, you know, losing their jobs and getting bought over, and almost none of these guys are going to play next year, start at least. Nope. I mean, the only two guys that played decent were CJ Baskerville and obviously Jacob Rodriguez. And so, like, it's hilarious how god-awful they played when, like, their job is kind of on the line and they were subtweeting about it. And they were just giving up 70-yard plays left and right.
Yeah, like Macho Stevenson gave up a 97-yard touchdown pass on a dude who, did you see like the tweet that somebody sent out? He just did his hands and he got totally juked. Like,
man, slant route. That was it.
Just a freaking joke by all these dudes who, like you said, you know, you're coming in, you're buying all these players to come and replace you. You'd think they'd be a little bit more motivated. Like, the only guy who played, you know, was Jacob Rodriguez, like usual. But that secondary was garbage in that game. Their quarterback was 11 of 21 for 341 yards. 11 passes he completed for 341 yards.
At one point, or probably ridiculous. Most of the game, they were averaging 20 yards a play.
Yeah.
Because of all these explosives we were giving up.
The first three drives, they scored on three plays in each of those drives, and they were all like 60-plus yard drives. One of them was scored on a 94-yard touchdown pass. Yeah. Just ridiculous. It was just a lousy effort from the defensive side of the ball, which you already knew, you know, we're trying to move on. And that's kind of my thought. Like, once the transfer portal hit and we're getting these dudes, I'm on to 2025 season. Like, I really don't care about how this bowl game played out. It was just, you know, a chance to see Will Hammond and see how he did, and some of the young running backs without Taj, and what other receivers might step up. And, you know, Caleb Douglas looked good. He had a sick catch.
Yeah, that's the only good things I had written down was Caleb Douglas with the play of the game with the deep Moss catch, because that looked like an obvious interception.
Yeah.
And Caleb comes over the top to grab that. That was crazy. And then I really liked what Jacoby Williams and Dickey gave you in the backfield. I mean, Jacoby has that explosiveness. That's why we saw him some towards the end of this year. And did Cam Dickey, did he look a little bit like Taj on a lot of these runs?
A little bit. Like,
I was like, dude.
They even like kind of pointed it out. Like, you could tell like the patience kind of waiting for.
And then just the bounce off a dude, spin for three more yards, bounce off, slide over for five more yards. It's like, dude.
Yeah, it's an encouraging combination of guys, because you got the speedster and Jacoby Williams, who also kind of ran a little bit like Taj as well. You could tell both of those dudes, and they mentioned it a lot in the broadcast, that when the broadcast was working, that they were kind of under the tutelage of Taj Brooks this year, and they were just following him and like eating up everything that he was teaching them. And so you could kind of tell that on display. Hammond, you know, he was all right, threw two picks, not great. Definitely like not the start that I kind of wanted to see from him, but also, like we kind of mentioned, no Zach Kittley there. Juice Johnson's calling the plays. Didn't have Taj Brooks or Josh Kelly to rely on. I thought he made some nice throws, but you could definitely tell he's still not ready. I think like if he came out and dominated this game, there would be some conversation heading into the offseason of, is it Barron or can Will Hammond overtake him for the job? I think that performance didn't really do much to move that needle. So I think Barron is clearly your QB1 as you head into the offseason still. Anything else you had to note in this game?
Yeah, my last thing is post-game press conference. I did like how visibly pissed off Joey McGuire looked after this game, especially like he hates losing. You can see that. He tells a lot. But during the season, it doesn't come out as bad. And I think that's because, there's a game next week. We can recover from this. There's not another game for a long time. I think that's why he's like so pissed. He has to live with this for so many months. And so I like that, just because that's fuel for him for the spring and the off season and how to approach this new team that we put together. And maybe he coaches a little different with a little more edge this off season and next year.
Yeah, like you said, you have to sit on this one all the way till your next game. That's never nice. Like, yeah, you always want to end the season, no matter how much this game like really doesn't matter. You still want to end it on the right note with a win. And it's not a good feeling to end this game, especially when you had all this momentum building with the transfer portal and stuff, and just to kind of have this hit not great. So I like the fiery attitude there from him. Last thing, I got to shout out. We got to put this guy on blast, and I've seen him on blast all day on Twitter. Everybody's retweeting that video. But Fernando Carmona of Arkansas, offensive lineman, like one of the biggest dipshits I've ever seen play the game of football, stepped on C.J. Baskerville's ankle just completely blatantly. Cameras caught it. It's been all over Twitter. The dude's a piece of shit. Shouldn't play. Like, I hate to rip players like that, but that's a dirty ass play by a dirty ass player. Doesn't deserve to play the game of football if you're going to kind of do shit like that. And I've seen that be a lot of sentiment from a lot of players, a lot of former players. Le'Veon Bell, I saw, tweeted out.
Manuel Acho
tweeting it out. Like, Bussing with the Boys tweeted out some stuff about this.
Yeah, he's getting roasted bad. I love it.
Rightfully so. Like, that's a not welcome in this game. You never want to root for anybody to get hurt. You don't want to cause anybody to get hurt by blatantly like stepping on their ankle like that. Just a weak ass move by this dude. So he should rightfully get blasted.
300-pound dude with spikes on. Like, bro.
And he already had a personal foul in that game where he just like ran into one of our dudes for no reason after a play was dead. So he already had a personal foul. So you can tell that he's just a piece of shit.
Yep.
Can't say it enough, but hate that happened to CJ Baskerville in that game. And I'm glad that it is getting traction out there on Twitter. So
since we're on the negative and personal side, can we say screw Jordan Brown also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God damn.
I had that in my notes. But I was like, I might just skip over it. But like,
Jesus Christ,
one,
man.
I missed that he even committed to Nevada over last week. Like, I'm okay with guys like Jake Strong playing that don't have another team to go to. Once you have another team to go to, you're not our see you out the door.
Yeah, you're not our team anymore. Like, you're Nevada for all I care. That was bad. He caught the ball.
Fair catch at the freaking 2-yard line. It leads to a safety.
And before that, he let a punt go that they downed at the 1-yard line. So two times on special teams, he had horrible plays that ended up backfiring and costing you big time, giving you terrible field position. Arkansas gets the safety off of his fair catch at the 1-yard line. Like, that's just dumbass playing.
And the fact that we were considering bringing him back for punt returning.
Ugh. Brutal. Like, if you're Nevada, are you like, I don't know.
See ya.
Yeah, we're gonna decommit from Jordan Brown. Yeah, that is the last bit. Like you said, I don't care if you haven't committed to somebody else, and like, we kind of needed Jake Strong to be there just in case something happened to Will Hammond. But if you've committed to somebody else, or like, still, I don't know, man. Certainly Porcher wasn't good in this game. Like, a bunch of other dudes who are in the portal just weren't really good for you in this game. I don't know the reason behind it. Let the younger guys who are still committed to the program step up and play. Yep. Let a younger receiver go out there and try to do some punt return stuff for you, instead of letting Jordan Brown. That was brutal. Any other tidbits from this game?
That's all the notes I had. Yeah, not getting too serious into it. We bought a whole new O-line and whole new defense for next year for this exact reason. It was a little hilarious to watch because of that.
The last thing, and I just kind of I saw this happening on Twitter a little bit, is like a lot of people being like, you ask for this with Kittley not being there. I didn't understand that argument because like, whether we asked for it or didn't, like, he took another job. So like, nobody had a say so in what happened here. He upgraded his job. He went and took a head coaching job. We're not here because anybody was like, I want Kittley to be gone or anything like that. We're here simply because he took another job. So why is there people bashing people who are like the anti-Kittley train? We were anti-Kittley there towards the end. But he got a better job. That's not our fault. I didn't understand that.
The note I have about the coordinators we elevated for this game, you could tell they're underqualified as offensive and defensive coordinators. They might be great at their position coaching jobs and recruiting statuses. Not saying anything against them on that. But you can tell, and especially like, it's hard on them because you're calling someone else's plays. Yeah. Like, I used not seeing the playbook how Tim DeRuiter sees his own playbook in the game. Yeah. You know, that's very difficult on those guys too. And you could really tell at halftime when like no adjustments were made, or at least the right ones in the flow of the game. So like, no, that's not what you're asking for, but that's also hard on Juice Johnson to call Kittley's offense and his verbiage, like with a true freshman quarterback, without your top two yeah. weapons in a second string, third string O-line, like, I mean, come on. What are you really expecting out of that? Like, yeah. that's not the angle to take.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of odd. And it was like Jeff Brunson, El Jefe, who was like going at some people like, you wanted this. I'm like, dude, nobody.
And I love the guy we brought in, but obviously in 2 weeks, yeah. you can't put in his offense.
It's a ball game in December. Like, without a, like, nobody asked for us to be like having Juice Johnson call the plays. Like, this is the situation we're in because Zach Kittley took another job. Renders your argument mute because that's, you know, we didn't get him fired or anything like that. I just found that kind of bizarre. It's like, you asked for this. I'm like, not really. We wanted him to be gone. But anyway, some stats from the game. We didn't do predictions for this one. I feel like predicting bowl games nowadays is just freaking hard because you have no idea. Like, we didn't know Taj was going to play up until like right before the game. So making predictions and stuff like that is going to be hard. You don't know what to expect from an Arkansas team that didn't have like half their, like a lot of their guys had transferred out. So we didn't really feel like doing predictions. So no prediction recap from us. Some stats: Will Hammond, 20 of 34, 280 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Jacoby Williams led the way on the ground, 15 carries, 123 yards, a touchdown. He had a 54-yard touchdown. That was a really nice play by him. Cameron Dickey, 15 carries for 74 yards. Caleb Douglas led the way for your receiving group, 5 catches, 115 yards. We mentioned he had that sick Moss catch. That was a pretty awesome. That set up a touchdown. Other than that, all your other receivers were under 50 yards. Corey Aiken did have a receiving touchdown on the day. Defensively, you had 2 sacks. You were able to turn the ball over once with a fumble. Other than that, not much to report from
safety.
Safety. I forgot about that. Made the game a little interesting there for a second.
As soon as we start talking crap about the defense, they get a safety and then a turnover.
Yep.
And the second quarter was the only good part for anybody this whole game.
Yep. Really the only time that the team was, you won that quarter 16-3. So if you just take that one quarter, you played all right. Other than that, you just got your ass kicked. Yeah, so that's it for Texas Tech football season. That's the final game, the final whistle, and the Red Raiders now move on to the offseason with a lot of excitement around the transfer portal class. We'll have a little bit more to talk about with the transfer portal class, as I think we're still in on maybe another transfer or two. We'll kind of see how things shake out now that the bowl is done. If any other players decide to hit the portal and whatnot, we'll be here to discuss that. But it's time to transition over to the basketball team, which is getting ready for Big 12 conference play. So let's head over to the hardwood and get ready for it. Texas Tech versus UCF. Well, the Texas Tech basketball team finished non-conference play strong with a 101-57 victory over Lamar. Yet another game without JT Toppin, but this one didn't matter as you were completely just way more talented than Lamar, even without your best player on the court. You had pretty damn good games from Darian Williams, 23 points for you. Chance McMillan, another good game from him, 19 points. Emily Yalahu, 13 points for you. Coming in to start with no Toppin or no Fetty. I forgot Fetty did not play this game. Kevin Overton, 17 points from you. And Christian Anderson, a career high 20 points for you in this game. So offense was clicking. You passed the century mark for the first time this season, so you don't have that on you anymore. Dominated. Any takeaways from this game where you were without two of your big guys and obviously without JT Toppin yet again?
I was a little surprised at how well we did dominate this without your best two big guys. Like, when Toppin wasn't playing, I was like, okay, just saving them. There's a big break between this game and UCF, so, like, that's not really going to tune you up that great. But then when Fetty was out, too, I was like, oh, great. So we have Emily at the big, and that's it.
Got it.
Like, Emily's still not that developed as we have seen, and only have him. I was very worried. We went really small for most of the game. I mean, Emily probably didn't even, I don't know the minutes, I don't have it in front of me, but didn't even play like half the game. I think we
24 minutes.
Okay, so just at half, but like, I think we expected maybe a tad more, but maybe that's where he was slotted at. But like, there were some times like D5 was basically your center and he handled himself really well. So like, was kind of impressed with that side of it. And Christian Anderson had a great game in this one.
Yeah, it was a really nice game from the young one. Eight of 10 shooting in this game, 2 for 4 from three, 20 points for you, 4 steals.
He got to the hole a little bit, too, not just from the three-point line.
A nice little up-and-under layup on this one. Yeah, Darian was kind of your big for you at times. I mean, I really like that lineup when you can go with Darian at the big because you can throw Darian, Chance, Kevin Overton, maybe Christian Anderson, and then, you know, kind of who else you want out there, maybe Kerwin, but... it's been a struggle for Kerwin so far this season as he's kind of slid back into the Kerwin before last year. but yeah, you know, good cleanup non-conference game to, you know, get the confidence and spirits high with a dominating win like that. But now we shift focus to conference play beginning on New Year's Eve, where the Red Raiders will face the UCF Knights to tip off a Big 12 conference play. It is a 1 o'clock game on Tuesday. So, it's going to kind of screw with me. I got to go to work, so I can't really make this game. I don't have time. I got to work. So that's unfortunate that this game is at 1 o'clock. I wonder what the crowd's going to be like. Cause I know people still have to work that day. Most people getting off just the first. So, right now UCF's 9-2 on the season. They did beat A&M to start the season, so that's kind of their one big win for them so far. But, you know, other than that, they haven't played. They lost to Wisconsin and they lost to LSU. So the two other decent teams that they played this year, they lost to besides beating Texas A&M in that like first game of the season, and it was a home game for them. So
yeah.
Any thoughts on Raiders as they get set to face off with UCF?
Yeah, now you start your 20-round fight in the Big 12. UCF gave you problems last year. They gave everybody problems, and they were picked last in the Big 12.
Yep.
And so they're well-coached, and this is where you can't slack with anybody. I mean, care if they were picked last or are missing some guys. This is where you got to really dial it in. I know it sucks that we've not had Toppin or Fetty or whoever for some games, but that's going to be the reality in the Big 12 too. And so it's good that we've coached around that throughout the last couple of months. So yeah, don't take them lightly. Don't take anybody lightly coming up.
Yeah. It's 20 rounds now. God, so just the 18 we added is more. Crazy. Added more. But you know, it's good that this is starting off at home. Get these guys into conference play with hopefully, you know, 1-0. You know, hopefully Toppin's back and healthy, ready to go. Hopefully Fetty's back and you have the majority of your team ready. I know if you want to make it through this conference season, you're gonna need Toppin. He's gonna need to be the guy that he's been for you so far this year if you want to have the season that you've kind of dreamt of when the season's tipped off. So you know, I know we've dropped a couple games here in the non-con that you wish you wouldn't have, but Big 12 gives you 20 opportunities to get some resume boosters. And so you're going to have opportunities here. You got to take care of games when you're at home specifically. And so starting off with the win over UCF is going to be right. And then you head to Utah for a couple games at Utah and at BYU before you head home in Iowa State. So it's not an easy start to conference season. I got some tough ones in there with at BYU and Iowa State coming up here soon. So got to get some wins while you have opportunities. And I think you start off conference play with two teams that you expect to go in and win as long as you're healthy.
So just like in general, Big 12 basketball, Texas Tech style, we might have covered this a few weeks ago when we did our kind of preview, but what's like your expectation of where we finish? Maybe the high point, maybe the realistic point in there. Cause like mine, realistically, I think we finished in the five through seven range. You know, preseason we were picked seventh, but high end, I think we could end up in that like number three or four spot.
Yeah. I don't know if my predictions have, I don't know if I have as much hope as I had heading into the season after kind of seeing some of the struggles that we've had in some of these games. You know, I know A&M was without JT Toppin, but you know, you did lose to St. Joe's team with JT Toppin, where you kind of struggled in that game. The giving up a lot of threes kind of makes me nervous. And so, you know, we haven't seen this team play with JT Toppin in a while, so I don't know how it's going to mesh, but I think like seven's kind of right, six, seven. But then again, Arizona's kind of struggled to start the season. Some of the teams that Baylor's kind of struggled, they're 8-3. Arizona 6-5, TCU 7-4. You know, really only a few teams have kind of separated themselves. Iowa State and Cincinnati up there at 10-1. Yep. But, you know, and there's also some surprises like West Virginia been all right. They beat Gonzaga. You know, you've got some Colorado beat UConn. You know, Kansas is going to be Kansas. BYU's kind of playing a little bit better than everybody thought they were going to be. So you're always going to have these teams that kind of surprise and might finish up there. I'm going to say like six. I really do think we're going to be around that six range. I think that's kind of maybe high end, you know, four, I think. I just got to see it first before I really fully believe that we can do it. And it's kind of same as last year. Like last year we struggled, we, you know, didn't have great non-conference, and then you came out and you beat Texas on the road in the first conference game and you're like, okay, maybe we have a shot here. And then you know, started off conference play so well that you kind of had to change your expectations. We need a little run like that before I'm going to be fully convinced that we can end up being at the top of the conference.
Yeah. And you kind of hit the big points that I also wrote down. Like the health of your bigs is very key, because you're down to three guys and one of them is a all Big 12 type of dude. You really need him. And then, yeah, the defensive rotations is going to be massive for us.
Yeah.
So like, how do we handle both of those things going in? But like, the positive thing that I like from this team and roster, we have more Big 12, like, award caliber type players on this team and ready to play than we did in previous 2-3 years. Like, you have Chance, D5, and Toppin that are all playing at Big 12
really
type award winning list, you know? And then you got Kevin Overton, six man type of dude. It's like you have better players, I think, at the higher levels right now.
Yeah, you could say Chance has been your best player so far this season. Like, with, you know, taking out that Toppin hasn't played the entirety of the season. Like, Chance has been consistent for you, been your best shooter, been, you know, able to get you almost 20 points per game, which has been really nice. So, yeah, there's a lot of high end to it. If you get Darian, JT, Chance all playing to that level, like in a game, you're going to have a chance to beat everybody that you play this season. But, you know, obviously Big 12, 20 games, there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be times where you go on a losing streak here and there, but there's going to be times where you go on winning streaks. And so, I'm very curious to see how this first, like, three-game stretch goes, UCF, Utah, and BYU, and see how we come through that and, you know, how those first kind of true road tests go for you. Because that's the other thing. You haven't played a true road game yet. Utah will be your first true road test. So, you know, we'll see how we do on the road there. But excited. And, of course, you know, next time we're on the mics, we'll be able to talk about this basketball team a little bit more in depth as conference play will have started. And the Red Raiders will be on their quest for, you know, another Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament appearance. And hopefully they do enough to get back in the dances. It's always fun to be a part of it. So anything else you got for us Red Raider related this week?
No, everybody have a good New Year's Eve and stay safe out there as you're traveling to games and whatever you do afterwards.
Yeah, have a safe and happy New Year. Watch a lot of football. The next round of the college football playoff coming up, I'm sure that'll be much better than the first round was. Dustin, time for our final shots for the week. What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to hit on some bowl games that have been fun over the last week or few days. I mean, BYU kicked the hell out of Colorado in what some people were calling the People's Big 12 Champ game. Yeah. And Colorado didn't show up at that level, even though all their studs were playing. And they got made fun of a lot for it.
Rightfully so.
And I kind of love that because, you know, Colorado's had, you know, two Heisman guys and all this hype. And, you know, last 2 years of finish with like a 500 record and not that great of stuff going on. So it's kind of funny to see them get kicked to the curb at their last game there. Iowa State over Miami, the Pop-Tarts Bowl was incredible.
It's the best bowl. It's the best bowl game.
I didn't know they could top it as much as they did from last year. And like, oh my God, this year is incredible with the foil unwrappings of the three new Pop-Tarts. The goalpost paddings were in the foil colors, sprinkles on the sideline, white sidelines.
They brought back the dead
the memorial Pop-Tart service for Strawberry from last year. And then he resurrects as the Eaton looking at strawberry and was in the stands watching from afar as the cinnamon roll one got toasted and ate. Like, just hilarious stuff. Like, incredible. And they got obviously getting so much traction on the internet from it. I mean, dude, I was keeping up more with what the Pop-Tarts were doing than what the game was doing.
Yeah, there was that video of him, like,
I found out.
There's a video of the Pop-Tarts sneaking up behind the ref and then running away. I'm like, that's awesome. I saw that they were giving out, like, ice cream sandwiches with Pop-Tarts on as the sandwiches part.
Nice, good idea.
To the media members. So it's just an incredible job by Pop-Tart to get this ball and then just kind of, you know, I'm excited to see what they do next year. Like, if we don't make the college football playoff next year, like, I want to be in the I want to be in the Pop-Tart bowl. More bowls need to, like, more food items need to do it. I was trying to think of other food items that would be, like, really good sponsors. I saw somebody throw out Uncrustables, like, players love Uncrustables. That could be a fun one. I was thinking, like, a Doritos sponsored bowl. They could probably a lot, like, of stuff kind of similar. Like,
Cheez-Its right now has to be like, God, we're not doing anything.
Yeah, you got to up your game, Cheez-It. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, Doritos could definitely do, like, a large Dorito chip and then everybody gets, like, a piece of it or whatever and or something like that. I don't know. There's definitely, like, Pop-Tarts has taken this and ran with it, and it's made – it's nice to have a bowl that, you know, dives into that stuff and makes it more fun to be a part of. So, good for you, Pop-Tarts bowl. My final shot, the Chiefs, man, they just keep getting it done. Every game is, like, very close, except for this last game against the Steelers, where they actually, you know, kind of dominated from start to finish in that one and really put the team away. But it's been a lot of one-score games. How'd they win? But they keep doing it, clinching the number one seed in the playoffs yet again. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, the Chiefs defense, Steve Spagnuolo, just keep getting it done. And so, yeah, they secure themselves the one seed heading into the final week of the season. What do you think about the Christmas Day games on Netflix? Did you get to watch them or
no? Because I mean, they're on like during the day, and I was with family doing other stuff, and so like, there's I don't know, they just weren't watching anything, so like, didn't even watch the games. And so like, I guess they did okay from what I heard, but yeah, I didn't even watch it just because they weren't on regular TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the Chiefs game, of course. Just kind of watched that. I thought it was good. You know, felt like watching a regular football game. I had a couple times where I had to buffer, but other than that, like, I thought they did a good job.
Now the Chiefs, so they locked up the number one seed. They're gonna rest guys next week when they play the Broncos because that game doesn't matter to the Chiefs.
Get a rest again.
Then they're gonna rest. I think I heard somebody say they're going to have like 26 days off until they're from like now till their playoff game. And then their playoff game is going to be a really good tune-up game. Cause it's going to be like the Texans or the Steelers who are whatever.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Their defense needs the rest to get some guys healthy. Yeah. What's funny is like their offense was getting healthier cause they got Hollywood Brown back.
Yeah. They look, looking great.
They've gotten Pacheco back, and so the offense is starting to really pick up, having Hollywood Brown and Hopkins and Worthy really coming on here down the end. And then, of course, Travis Kelce, like, they're just kind of getting stronger offensively, and defense needs some just to get some guys rested. So that way their secondary is kind of back to full health. So that'll be good for them. And then that means Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are probably going to have to eliminate each other.
That's going to be a sweet playoff game.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome on that side of the ball. You got Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson both playing just amazing football right now.
Yeah.
And then of course Mahomes just doing his thing.
Yep.
So, NFL playoffs getting closer and closer. Excited for that. Always love NFL playoffs. That's time of year. College football playoffs going on as well. Next round's coming up. First rounds were all blowouts, terrible games. Do you like any of the discourse surrounding Indiana, SMU, and all these teams getting blown out?
I mean, to me, it's kind of expected when we look back on it. Like, you look back on lots of years, your teams that are 9 through 12 or 9 through 14, whatever these guys ended up ranked at, aren't, like, playing with the big dogs, you know? Yeah. And so, like, especially when these other big dogs have the home field advantage. Like,
Yeah.
It was really cool to see that. I mean, I think it's still a good thing, but good to see and how they address it going forward if they want to reseed some things. But I mean, I wasn't that surprised because I don't think SMU or Indiana had a lot to go on besides a soft record. So I wasn't like that surprised when they got blown out.
Yeah, I expected the same kind of thing. There's blowouts when it was four teams too. You know, a lot of people like there's blowouts in the playoffs, in the NFL playoffs. Like every year, there's teams that just get destroyed. So it's the, like the fact of every single playoff. NBA has a bunch of games that are just blowouts, even in the finals. So
I just like now that like you have to play more than one game to get to the championship.
Yeah. And I think like if this next round of games are really good, I think that'll kind of silence all the criticism that's had. I think the main thing that needs to be changed is just reseed. I really don't, you know, it should be the top four teams get the byes.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be like Boise State and Arizona State up there. I think it would have been better games if you would have had byes for Texas, Penn State, and then you're getting other teams like right. Arizona State and Boise State into those games. It might have been closer. It might have been a better product, but either way, excited for the next coming round of games. It was nice to have three college football playoff games and NFL going on. Just lots and lots of football.
No doubt.
So can't complain about that. But that'll do it for us this week here at Tailgate Talks. A quick episode for you guys. Just wanted to recap that bowl game. Talk a little bit about Texas Tech basketball as conference play is set to begin. And so, yeah, we will be back next week to talk a little more hoops. And if there's any more football news that comes across the timeline, any more transfer portal gets, guys who are leaving, stuff like that, we'll be back to talk about that. Once again, hope you enjoy your New Year's. Be safe out there and have a good time ringing in 2025. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.